Episode 300. I did it!
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome to the daily edition of the Trigg Podcast. So, Joy, how are you guys on this beautiful morning here with my gozo bell? Got my gozo hat, got my gozo mug. Let's see how today's coffee tastes. Let's see. Oh, man, it is amazing on this beautiful Monday. What a great week this is going to be. How are you, my dear friend? My name is David Trigg, and by the way, gozo means joy in Spanish. Here every day, Monday through Friday, Friday in Espanol, Monday through Thursday in English, to help you do three things: to find your God-given adventure, to find grace in the middle of crisis, and to discover who you love. We call it the ACL experience: adventure, crisis, and love. Here Monday through Friday. Don't forget, by the way, to go to my website, davidtrigg.com, where you can get all the latest and greatest beats that I am writing every day. But today I want to talk to you about this really good news that I wanted to give you, which is I did it. We did it. God has been good to me and to us. And he's been good to you, right? And I want to tell you what I mean by I did it. And what exactly am I talking about? Well, let me start with a little bit of a story. Here in my home studio, I have a vision board. In other words, I have pictures of specifically three things. I'm looking at it now. Three things that are very important to me that are visuals. One of them is a picture of a pastor speaking in front of thousands and thousands of people. The other one is of this dream house in Oregon. And the third one is of this brand new car, my dream car. And those are things that obviously they represent things that I want, things that I dream of, things that are important to me. Obviously, love and faith in God are the foundation to life. But when it comes to success and things that you long for, these are the things that motivate me to keep going. When I feel tired, when I feel like maybe just things are just too hard, etc., these things motivate me. Of course, I also have other things written down that are important to me, but I think everyone has to have a clear picture of where they're going, of what they want. Now, maybe a month ago or so, I was meditating on kind of where I am right now and what God has done in my life thus far. And I was looking at those pictures on the wall, and I began to think something new, kind of a new revelation for me. Instead of thinking, wow, maybe someday, or I hope that happens someday. Instead, I actually thought something very unique and simple, which was this: I'm already there. I'm already blessed in that way. I already have everything that I want. And because I guess as I was thinking about these pictures, it got me thinking that those images aren't necessarily pictures of what I exactly want. I don't necessarily want, I mean, I love black BMWs, and that's the one I have up there. And of course, who wouldn't want a beautiful house in Oregon? We love Oregon. We have family up there. But I was thinking, I already have a church that I love. I already have a beautiful house that I just can't wait to come home to, with the people that I can't wait to come home to. And I already have a car that is a dream come true. And I'm not even going to get into the details of what exactly do I mean by my house or my car or my church. It's not even about the specifics because, no, I'm not speaking in front of 10,000 people. No, I'm not driving a BMW. And no, I don't have a house in Oregon. So it's not about that. It's about the fact that I am grateful for what I already have. And that is what I did, what God did, is I feel grateful. I feel fulfilled with what I already have. I don't need to have those things exactly as they are, because guess what? I already have them. It's a very simple concept, but it's a very important concept, because instead of waking up thinking, how do I get there? How do I arrive to those to those pictures? Instead, it's more of a thankfulness for what God has already done. And it motivates me to persevere and to be grateful. And gratefulness for me has been a very elusive thing my whole life because I am an Enneagram 3. I am an achiever. I want to do more every day. I wake up every morning literally thinking, okay, what are the 50,000 things that I need to do before 8 a.m.? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I am one of those guys that wakes up at 6 a.m., 5:30, and I am ready to go. By right now, it's 8:30. I've already done like 10 things that most people wouldn't do probably in a week. Now, I love that most of the time. The problem with that is that I can feel unsuccessful. I can feel like I'm failing at life because I haven't achieved the next thing and the next thing. It's that whole thing of I always want more. And it's not an issue of God or faith or reading verses. You know, people tell me, oh, read this verse. And I mean, I love the Bible, and those things are so important to me. But it's not about faith or feeling like God is my everything. You know, people say, oh, what is your definition of success? And it's to know Christ. I mean, all those things are important to me, but that's not how my mind works. My mind is restless, and I think it's for a good reason. God made me restless. I am completely comfortable being who I am, being a success-driven person, being an achiever, being an overachiever. Now, with that said, what I'm not happy with, or what I feel like God has been working on in my life, is ungratefulness, is being grateful for what I already have, for what I have already accomplished. Because when I feel thankful, it's not about being complacent, but it's about resting. That's true rest. Looking back at my life, I realize how God has been so gracious to even allow me to be in a position to speak His word every week, to sing and to worship Him every week. Second, to have the material things or the safety or the whatever you want to call it, you know, the base of a house and just the basics of humanity that are so important and that so many people do not have. And I do not take them for granted. Everything can be taken away. I could be out of a job tomorrow. I could lose my house next week. I could, I don't know, my car could fall apart next month. So it's not about even having things or putting my trust in those things. Of course, it's nothing about that. It's about gratefulness. Are you grateful for what you already have? Are you grateful for what you've already accomplished? Are you grateful for what, for the people that you already have in your life? Now, I think that when you're in your 20s, maybe late teens, 20s, certainly in the 20s, maybe even 30s, you are definitely going uphill, right? You're trying to achieve a lot of things. You want to have a job that pays you well. You want to move out of your house or your mom's house, and you want to have your own place. You want to obviously find the man or woman of your dreams. You know, these are the foundational things that every human being longs for. And so you're climbing this ladder. You're going up the hill. When you are in your 30s, then that's when the real work begins. You then probably have one or two children by then. You're learning to keep a job and maybe even to move to another job that is better suited for you. You might begin to make some mistakes. You might begin to work on your physical body. You might need to work on your marriage, perhaps having kids, or maybe 3-5 years into your marriage, you're noticing some things that you need to work on, some character things, etc. And that's also climbing. That's also kind of a pursuit of things, right? And then you're in your 40s. I'm just speaking from my own experience, of course. In your 40s, you begin to, at least what it seems like happens to a lot of people, and it happened to me, is you go through a crisis. You experience deeper failures. You experience more of an identity crisis. That's why they call it a midlife crisis. You begin to question your faith, your career, your identity. You are hit by life from different places. It could be your health. It might be your marriage. It could be financially. You wonder, is this all there is? Am I in the right field? Is there more to my life? Am I going to be happy? You begin to think about happiness and not just about wanting more things. And then in the 50s and 60s, well, I'll let you know when I get there. I'm not there yet, but I'm looking forward to it, actually. I'm looking forward to the rest of my life. But I think that at some point, the human being has to come to a place of thankfulness, of what Paul calls contentment. I love that word contentment that he uses in Philippians 4, because when I remember studying that word, it means a bicycle. It means something that has two wheels. And those two wheels are God's faithfulness and your hard work. Contentment is this balance, this imperfect balance between the faithfulness of God and then all the laboring that we have to do on this earth. And when you can find equilibrium between knowing how gracious God has been and then being satisfied with what you've accomplished, then that's what we call contentment. And what, isn't that a wonderful picture? Now, when one of those things is out of balance, when your faith in God is weak, when you don't see Him as faithful, maybe you've lost sight of God or you've even walked away from God, and yet you're working so hard on your own and you're trying to build this and help these people and do a million things, you're not going to find contentment. And I've been there. I went through a season, maybe 4 or 5 years, where I didn't want much to do with God. I thought, you know, I got it, God. Like, thank you. I think I got it because you are untrustworthy. I don't know if I can really trust in you. And I'm just being honest. I mean, for a lot of reasons, mostly trauma in my life, I've always struggled trusting God. And it's been recently that I've begun to find that trust, know that He is faithful, and then there's more equilibrium. Now, on the other hand, you might be someone who is so trusting. You rely on God for everything in your life, and yet your actions don't match up with that trust. You lose your ambition, you're depressed, you're dealing with huge levels of shame, you're dealing with huge levels of unworthiness or wanting to people please or overcommitting to things or you're struggling being a perfectionist or judging others harshly. When you begin to experience some of these flaws, you realize that you can't just simply go to church and serve God. You have to work on yourself. You have to let that faith and some of the problems that you're facing, you have to let God deal and work in the things that you're facing. And so your faith becomes more practical, more real. You may go through even a quarter-life crisis. I mean, I've read that many people in their 20s, they deal with that first third of the three crises, or they deal with a crisis in that first third of their lives. And if you're a young person listening to this, I want to just encourage you to find, even as you're climbing that ladder, as you're pursuing the things that you long for, to begin to put your trust in God and to go deeper in that and to continue to peel away the levels, I guess, or the leaves of the onion, the layers of the onion, until you find more of God. We'll never get there, but we keep digging for His love. We keep pursuing His presence in our lives, because that's what we need, is His presence, so we can trust in Him for whatever comes our way. And so when I say that I did it, first I want to say a few things. First is, I didn't do anything. It was God, together with my wife and our kids, and really just a faithfulness of thousands of people praying for me, praying for us. Certainly, obviously, my mom, when my dad was around, him praying for us, my grandmother when she was here. So first of all, realize that nothing gets done on your own. There is no solopreneur, no self-made man. There is no such thing. You might think that because of trauma. That certainly was true of me. I thought, well, everybody's gone. I don't know exactly where God is. I guess I'm going to have to just pick up my bags and just take care of myself. not out of knowing how to take care of myself, but just out of desperation. Like, well, I don't know who else to trust. I'm going to trust myself. And yet that doesn't work. So first of all, anything that God has done in my life is a result of the people in my life, of the obedience, of course, of my heart, but most of all, of the grace of God, because I'm very aware of all the ways in which I easily and sometimes even, I don't know if intentionally, I wanted to destroy my life. And yet God was faithful to keep me from falling, to rescue me from death and from destruction. He's been faithful. Number two, I want to say that contentment is not having everything you want, but it's realizing that you've already been blessed. And so when I look at those pictures on my wall, I can honestly say that I'm not striving for those things anymore. Now, do I want my church to be bigger and have more impact in the world? Of course I do. If my car died tomorrow or I lost my house, would I want a new car and a new house? Of course. But what I'm saying is that I'm already there because I'm happy, because I'm content. It's not because I have these things. You know, I think there's a balance between having a certain level of comfort in your life and then it's the spiritual part of it. You know, you hear all the stories of little kids in Africa or in Latin America that have nothing and yet they're so happy. That's the spiritual practice that I'm talking about. It's this balance between having your needs met and having an awareness of the faithfulness of God. There are, of course, there are injustices in the world. Everybody should have drinking water. Everybody should be safe and not fear the government or violence or terrorist attacks. Of course, there are some things that every human being needs to survive. You're talking about now psychology, those basic needs that everyone has. So that is number one. But assuming that you have that, the fact that I can go to Disneyland any day because I have an annual pass and maybe my family back home have never been to Disneyland, that is a sad thing that makes my heart sad. And yet, maybe they have other things that I don't have. They're together. They have each other. So everyone needs to find their happiness within their circumstances, assuming, as I said, that you have your basic needs met. And then the second part is the spiritual discipline, is practicing thankfulness, is to, especially now, if you're a younger person, I do think it's a harder balance to strike because you are pursuing, you're still climbing, as I said, that ladder. And so I don't think that that's wrong. I think that to climb, to pursue more, to want to learn more things so you can have a better job and go to school and all these things are natural. I mean, you're in your 20s, you might be in your 30s, and you're pursuing greatness. But I think that even though it might be more difficult to be thankful in your 20s and 30s because you don't have as much, I do think that you can begin to practice looking at your circumstances and being thankful for them. Yesterday, I had the joy of dedicating a beautiful little girl, I think she was 3-4 months old and just so beautiful. You can only imagine. She was just adorable, looked just perfect, and a little bow on her head and these cute little shoes that she had on. And of course, her mom and dad were just glowing. The grandparents were there. And I can honestly say that it was one of the best days of my life. Just being there, just being a part of this moment, of this dedication of this child to Jesus. And having the opportunity to be present and to lead that prayer and to honor that family and to dedicate that child and that whole family to God. What a beautiful moment. I felt so content. And yet I know that for that young mom, there's a lot of stress behind the scenes. Sleepless nights and feeling like I don't know what I'm doing. And obviously exhaustion. And maybe, I don't know, for some moms, it's this identity crisis. Am I just going to be a mom for the rest of my life, or am I supposed to be a professional? If I do both, how does that work? all of these tensions, plus, of course, for the dad. And I mean, of course, there are a lot of tensions there too. But so contentment at that stage of life is different than my contentment for me that I've already been there and done that. And so you have to find your contentment in your current circumstances. I think the greatest danger is to think, well, when the kids are out of, quote, diapers, then I'll be happy. Or when I can finally move out, then I'll feel happy. And yes, I think there's a lot of truth in that. But I think the practice, the discipline to begin to practice now is to learn to say thank you. And so how do I do that? Here's some tips that I can maybe pass on to you. One way is to write. I write incessantly. I don't know if you're a writer, maybe you're more of a listener, maybe you're more of a doer. I love all those things as well, but I love to write. And when I write, I naturally move. I now am moving more towards thankfulness. So I literally have what they call a thankful journal or a thankfulness journal that guides me through exercises on how to be grateful. It says, what did you do yesterday? What did you do tonight? What are you grateful for? What are your goals for tomorrow? It's just a nice way to frame your conversation so you're not just writing down all the things that are bad or all the things that you want. A second thing that I personally do is I go for drives, long drives. Maybe I'll drive for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, just around the house. I mean, around the city here, not around my house. That would be crazy. But around the city here, and I'll just drive just maybe around 5 o'clock. I did this yesterday. It was more maybe like 3-4 o'clock. And, you know, the sun was beginning to set. It's been cooler here in the Long Beach area lately. So it was just one of those beautiful, beautiful moments. And I just drove. I was actually going to the gym, but I thought, heck, I'm going to just keep driving because I feel like God is here. I listened to one of my favorite songs. It was Sting. It was some amazing song here, but I forget which one. And yeah, I love Sting. And I was just elevated. I was just like in a trance, you know, like Peter says that he had this vision. I just had like a revelation of gratefulness in my heart. Sometimes just me being home and just sitting next to my wife and talking to her for 30, 40 minutes. We talked last night till about 11 p.m. And I was telling her these things, and I felt so grateful just to be with her, just to know her, to grow old together, to have the gifts and the talents and the love that we have for each other, to be so proud of her for what she does, to have now the chance to raise these three adults, you know, these young adults that are still eating all our food and don't pay any rent, and yet we love them so much. You know, either way. So I wonder what you can do to reflect on gratefulness. And I think gratefulness, maybe for you it's easy, but for me it's kind of a learned practice. It's not natural. I'm always wanting more, as I said. But being thankful, practicing these things, going on these drives, sitting with Rochelle, reading the Bible, praying, singing songs, reading the Word of God, writing things down. All of these things have really helped me to just practice the habit and the art of thankfulness. If thankfulness and gratitude is easy for you or natural, then you are way ahead of me. But perhaps if you're like me and you struggle to be thankful, or maybe you are thankful, but your thankfulness is quickly drowned out by the worries of this world. And that's what happens, right? If you deal with that, I want to just invite you. Practice gratefulness now, regardless of your circumstances. I still wish I was 185 pounds and I looked like Brad Pitt, okay? So gratefulness is not about having everything you want. It's about knowing that God has been faithful. It's knowing that through the tough times when you were depressed and anxious and you felt like you were losing your mind, that He was faithful, and it's meditating on those things. And guess what that does when you begin to practice thankfulness? It gives you such strength for tomorrow. It gives you a a power from above that you didn't know was there. Because the Bible says, be thankful. With thanksgiving, it says, present your request to God. And the God of peace will fulfill your mind and give you the desires of your heart. So when we practice gratefulness, according to the Bible, it makes our prayers effective. It's almost like thankfulness changes your prayers. So when we're grateful, we don't pray so heavily or so negatively. We pray with a more positive mindset. So my prayer for you today, my dear friend, is that you will practice thankfulness. What are you thankful for? Practice thankfulness and see your life be changed. I guarantee that as you do that, you will truly have what we call here gozo, a life of joy, a life of peace. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android. Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.